If it please the Court, my name is Frank J. Nawara, and I am here on behalf of Yerman & Associates and Petitioner Zhu Kuan-Yu. Your Honors, it is our contention today that the BIA made several legal errors when issuing their ruling on May 15, 2008. First, it was legal error for the Board to state on page 4 of the Joint Appendix, quote, many of his documents, unquote, quote, have already been considered by this Board and addressed in our present decisions in matter of SYG Supra, matter of JHS 24 INN Decision 196, matter of JWS 24 INN Decision 185, and matter of CC 23 INN Decision 899, unquote, when in fact they had not been. This is a misreading of the Board's own presidential decisions. The majority of the evidence submitted by Petitioner was not reviewed by the BIA in the aforementioned presidential decisions, as Petitioner's first argument addresses. A misreading of the Board's own presidential decisions was cited most recently by this Court in Hong v. Mukasey, 534 F3D 618 at page 620, as a legal error. This Court was citing to its previous ruling in Sally v. Gonzalez, 424 F3D 556 at page 564. Second, the BIA itself only cites the five documents submitted by this petitioner that were reviewed in those previous cases, making the assumption that those five documents constitute the bulk of petitioner's motion to reopen, when in fact they do not. The BIA's assumption is completely ignoring petitioner's argument that his new, previously unavailable evidence, material to his claim, establishes his eligibility for asylum under 8 CFR section 1003.2, little c, 1, and 8 CFR section 1003.2, little c, 3, 3 little i's. In this Court's ruling in Kukana v. Mukasey, 533 F3D 534, on pages 538 through 539, this Court stated that, quote, the Board must exercise discretion only when it has done so its decision is sheltered, unquote. This Court explained on page 538, quote, the Board does not have any obligation to write an opinion explaining each decision not to reopen. It does have an obligation to consider every argument made to it, unquote. In failing to consider petitioner's argument, the BIA failed to consider factors acknowledged to be material to their exercise of discretion. This was considered to be a legal error by this Court in the Hong case discussed Supra on page 620, which referenced Kukana v. Mukasey, and Hanan v. Mukasey, 519 F3D 760, decided by the 8th Circuit.
This stuff that wasn't previously submitted, it wasn't pre-existing during the first hearing?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so you've got, what you're trying to say is that whatever the Board discarded as having already been considered or could have been considered because it was a pre-existing condition at that time is wrong?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, what should we be considering then?
We feel it was a wholesale failure to consider the evidence, as it says it states in Hanan, because if you look at the documents he submitted with his motion to reopen, six documents are from 2006, and 21 documents are from 2007. This is well past the time of his original his initial immigration proceedings, and those documents were not reviewed in SYG, JWS.
What do they say?
In summary,
I don't need the whole deal.
Well, they speak of forcible abortion, sterilization, and large fines. And they speak of one-child IUD insertion, two-children sterilization. And they support that contention that upon returning to China, because he violated the family planning policy, he will be forcibly sterilized and forced to pay a large fine. And this is also in accordance with his personal evidence, which consists of a village committee letter and affidavits from friends and family. Now, the Board's aforementioned legal errors lead straight to another legal error. In misreading their prior presidential decisions, ignoring petitioner's arguments, and failing to consider factors acknowledged to be material to their exercise of discretion, the Board failed to consider whether China's family planning policy is implemented through physical force or other means that would amount to persecution, despite the overwhelming new, previously unavailable material evidence to the contrary.
Well, this material evidence is what? Are they copies of statutes or the government opinion of the country, what they call it, country report? What is it that's new here that we can look at as would be evidence of this edict if they return? Sterilization if they have two children and abortion if they're pregnant again or whatever it is?
Well, Your Honor, on page 38 through 40 of the Joy Appendix, it lists this evidence. And with regard to the first one, the background evidence, the investigation report by DHS, I'm not going to list every single piece, but the documents from China, the Guangzhou number 7 on page J838, the Guangzhou Town, Lijun County, Fujian Province Family Planning Policy Document, the document number 8, the Fujian Province Family Planning Propaganda, they all talk about one-child IUD, two-children sterilization. We also have...
No, is the government requiring, I don't want to call it anecdotal evidence, but people testifying that this is carried out, or are they saying that's just something that's been in place and they don't really enforce it? What's the issue here? That it was previously determined one way or the other, but that, I don't know how long that's been in place, but whatever it is.
The board seems to state in their opinion that these documents were reviewed in JWS, SYG, CC, and JHS, which they weren't. And they also seem to basically state that, we've done this a million times in these presidential decisions. We've seen these documents before. Many of these documents were considered. Only 5 of those documents were actually considered. And is our contention that...
Many were considered, that they're not authentic or that they're...
Oh, no, that they actually were submitted into evidence in SYG, JWS.
Well, were they... When they were submitted into evidence, were they determined to be just not true, or what?
Those 5 documents, according to the board, were not enough and to meet petitioner's burden. The 5 documents that they speak of that petitioner also submitted. But as I say again, petitioner submitted many documents that were not reviewed by that court, that were not submitted in those cases. And we feel that what the BIA did was they essentially took their rulings in past cases and just applied it to this without reviewing the new material evidence, ignoring petitioner's argument and misreading their own presidential decisions where that if they would have read them, they would have seen that they had not reviewed this evidence.
Is there any dispute, or maybe you have precedent, if someone comes up with, we'll call it ironclad proof, that if they return, they're going to be subjected to sterilization, is there any case that... any precedent that has shown that they were granted asylum? Now, this, of course, is a late filing, which is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another hurdle. But even in the initial stage, is there a standard that the government requires from China that says in this province or whatever, this is going to be enforced, that they will be sterilized if they return?
The recent ruling in the Second Circuit in JWS requires particularized evidence. And they spoke of, I apologize, I realize this is the Seventh Circuit, but this is the most recent ruling we have. And they spoke of particularized evidence. They realized that there was a family planning policy and that would be applied to children in JWS's situation born outside of China. But they want particularized evidence. We feel this case is distinguished from that case.
What's
because
particularized evidence? What do you mean?
They used the word particularized evidence.
What's it mean?
I felt it to mean something that basically points that this particular plaintiff would be sterilized upon his return, and I feel that's been met by the village committee letter and the affidavits and a bulk of the evidence that was not submitted in that case that's submitted in this case, and that distinguishes the two, and that's really the bulk of our argument in the first argument of our brief. As you mentioned, though, he does have a large hurdle because there's a motion to reopen. And a motion to reopen based on changed circumstances originally in his country and nationality, that's what his claim is based on. The test for whether the presentation of documents justifies reopening is whether they are sufficiently material to establish an alien's eligibility for the relief sought. 8 CFR section 1003.2, little c, 3 little i's, 8 CFR section 1003.2, C1, and matter of JJ, 21 INN decision 976. Again, just to reiterate, the majority of this evidence, which the board did not consider, establishes that there's been a change in country conditions in his country and nationality. He's established an eligibility, a prima facie eligibility for asylum that requires reopening of his case to determine whether or not he meets the burden. And thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Quella.
Good morning, Your Honors. Ann Wellhoff for Respondent, United States Attorney General Mukasey. May it please the Court. Your Honor, this case falls on four corners right within the Court's decision, precedential decision in the Kukana case. This Court held that the Court does not have jurisdiction to review the Board's discretionary decisions en route to the exercise of its ultimate discretion.
So that's, it wouldn't matter then, looking at all these exhibits, if they had a certain finding as a result of those, we might look at it fine differently. We don't have authority to override that. Is that right?
This Court lacks jurisdiction over the Board's discretionary decision in this case and any factual determinations that the Board made en route to exercising that discretion.
Right.
That's exactly what happened in this case. Now, Petitioner's counsel would argue and did argue that there are some legal errors because Petitioner's counsel is aware that they have that hurdle to get around in this case, that factual determinations en route to the ultimate exercise are not reviewable. I'd like to address some of his arguments as to legal error, as Respondent believes there is no legal error in this case. First, the petitioner is arguing that there's been a wholesale failure to consider the evidence, and Respondent would recognize that a wholesale failure to consider evidence would, under this Court's precedent, be a reviewable decision. That is clearly not what happened in this case. In fact, I would refer the panel to the Board's decision. It's a lengthy decision, relatively speaking, to other decisions I'm sure this Court's been reviewing. It's four pages. On the second page of the Board's decision, it lists no less than 25 pieces of evidence by name. The Board itemizes each and every, I believe, document submitted in this record, except that the Board did categorize media reports into one presentation and lump those together. But the Board certainly listed the evidence, considered the evidence. The fact that the Board noted that many of the documents had previously been rejected for the same proposition doesn't mean that the Board ignored all the other evidence. To the contrary, the Board listed all of the evidence, and frankly, the Board's duty to articulate has been more than met, and that duty is only a judicially created duty. There's no statutory or regulatory provision that requires the Board to write an exegesis on each and every piece of evidence that is submitted. The Board more than demonstrated a consideration of the evidence en route to the exercise of jurisdiction of its discretion.
Now this would be fair to divide these into maybe a couple of categories. One part of those documents, they were pre-existing. They could have been brought up earlier. It's not a change in conditions. Those were in place. And then the other part where they were, you know, copies and blurry and various other things, not signed and not authentic in the first place. Is that fair to divide them in those two categories, or is it more than
that would be fair, Your Honor, that certainly some of them were not available and some of them were clearly not authentic, as the Court noted, or the Court had authentication issues with the documents. As to any documents that didn't fall under that, I guess, umbrella, the Court weighed it, considered it, and concluded that they did not establish a change in country conditions. And this petitioner essentially wants this Court to place more weight on his evidence than the Board did. This is a quintessential factual claim being made by petitioner. You can look through the petitioner's brief in this case. There's page 4. He's arguing they submitted evidence that was not considered. Petitioner submitted evidence on page 5. He's arguing the various pieces of evidence and why it should be weighed in their favor. Page 9, remand is necessary because petitioner has established evidence which shows a worsening of country conditions. That is a factual determination. And again, the petitioner seeks a reweighing of the evidence. Now,
is there, he used the word particularized or something like that. Is there such a standard that the individual person before the board or court even on asylum, here we got to reopen, which is a higher hurdle, we know that. But on asylum, does a person have to show that basically she is going to be subjected to sterilization if she returns to China?
That's correct. If we were on the merits of this case, there would be a need for a particularized showing. There is
meaning
no
she's got to by name or something. It can't just be a general policy if you go back to a certain province and you're caught.
Well, to date, the boards and appellate courts who have considered that question have not. They haven't said it has to be by name, but certainly it needs to show you individually are at particular risk. They have not found some general risk that anyone who has United States citizen children and returns, there's no policy. They haven't found a countrywide policy, and they've said there must be particularized risks, which I would interpret to mean you in particular. And if to use the court's term, you by name, would certainly fit within that. There needs to be that showing. But, again, that's on the actual merits of the claim. And here, again, this court is looking only at whether looking at the reopening and whether this petitioner demonstrated before the board changed country conditions, which, as I stated, is a factual question. Petitioner has spent a lot of time on brief, and I believe time before this court today, arguing his prima facie case, that these documents show that there's been increases in sterilization, that this petitioner has a particularized risk. This board did not reach the prima facie case issue here. Those go to prima facie case. We don't even get there until he gets around the time and number bar hurdle, which must be done by showing a change in country conditions. The board weighed the evidence and concluded that that was not done here.
So if they're bad in the first place, still bad, there's no change.
Well, I guess if you want to put it that way, Your Honor, there needs to be a change.
I don't want to, but I just think the way it is.
Well, yes, there needs to be a change. If they were bad in the first place, it should have been brought up in the first place. And that is one of the points of time restraints on here. And I would note as well, this petitioner has, this is number three, motion to reopen number three. At each phase in his proceedings, he's been represented by counsel. He's certainly been afforded due process here in the United States on his removal case. And, again, I think that what we have here are some cloaking of the issues in this case under the guise of legal questions in an effort to have this court invoke its jurisdiction.
Well, his is different because it's derivative in a way, whatever from his wife and subsequent marriage and all that stuff.
Well, actually, Your Honor, his second motion to reopen was a derivative claim, which ultimately failed, and he now is legally unable to make that claim. So this is a claim in his own right on the third motion to reopen.
I know, but it comes down to that. How long has it been here? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, Your Honor.
He's been here since 1995.
Yeah.
That is a long time. And
it's a long
time. The
next
case we're going to hear is somebody who got here in 1994. This whole system just seems so
Respondent
broken to me.
Appreciates and acknowledges the problem with the system and the court's frustration. Respondent shares the court's frustration.
There's even some question that I ran into 2 or 3 years ago where China doesn't want some people back.
That may be the case, Your Honor.
And I don't know where they're putting them, though, but seems to be a problem there, too.
Well, certainly, as far as executing removal orders, there's administrative things that go along with it and coordination with receiving countries. And if the receiving country is not cooperating, that there can be issues there, which can prolong the process. But to summarize, Your Honor, this court lacks jurisdiction over the board's discretionary denial, and the court should dismiss this petition for review for lack of jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Well. Your time has expired as well, but I'll give you a minute for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll make it very quick. I apologize. Just one quick point. If the BIA had reviewed the evidence and they wanted to eliminate this whole problem, all they had to do was say, applicant submitted all this evidence, and we reviewed it, and we decided that given the way the evidence, it doesn't show a change in country conditions, and then that would have been it. But they didn't do that, which shows that they didn't review it. It's all they had to do if they wanted to get rid of this case, but they didn't do that, which shows that they did not do what they were supposed to do. And one last thing with regards to JWS, you're correct. That's to show the his was not a motion to reopen. So his was to actually sought relief, and that was the particularized evidence. But we do feel that, but that particularized evidence is here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.